Better late than never, it's the Webcomic Beacon with your hosts, Fess and Tanya.
Welcome to episode 15 of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess, and right now Tanya's not with me, but she'll be with me later. And with us we have C.D. Rudd of 910 CMX Comics Podcast.
How are you doing today, Fess?
So, all right. You?
Well, not bad.
And with us as well from the GigCast, we have Tim and Scott.
How you doing, Fess?
Hey, Fess.
Hey, I'm doing all right. Welcome
my,
to
my
the
podcast,
show.
My podcast persona is JT, though. We don't want to confuse the people out there.
JT, sorry.
It's okay.
What did he call you?
Tim. Which is all right. It's my name as well, but, you know.
Your name's Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I called you by the wrong name before the show to him.
Did you?
I have so many names that I'm talking to people right now, setting up for future shows. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I understand completely.
Well, that is a trick of one of the tricks of doing a podcast is starting right out with going, okay, now you have an avatar named SweetBabyRibs.com. do we have to refer to you as that all day long, Mr. Sweet Baby Ribs? Or and it all goes downhill from there.
Yeah.
Well, that's all fine and dandy. And with us, we do have Sweet Baby Ribs, Tanya.
Whoa. Hi. I've apparently missed some.
Yes, this welcome to the show.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Tanya.
I guess who's who.
You know, I think I'm just going to let that little mystery unfold as we go.
All right, Sweet Baby Ribs.
What the hell?
See what happens when you miss 5 minutes.
Oh, yes.
I walked in the door, down to Hot Dog, and got online, so I did my best. Sweet Baby.
That's all right. The topic of the show has just changed to nicknames we can call Tanya.
Well, you mentioned the one thing was about people's screen names, nicknames, and whatnot. The other thing, I guess, would have to be the most difficult part of putting together a podcast is trying to get everybody together on at the same time that works for everybody.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun with the worldwide audience that we can gather here, and the artists being all over the world. It's not that easy.
Yeah, I've had a couple of people from Australia. That was a nice late night.
Well, when we started the GigCast, Scott was the host, one of the hosts was in Kansas. I was down in Florida, and Carl was in Switzerland.
Jeez.
Yeah, so try arranging that for a time. We were doing that like Sunday mornings, which didn't really work out because that's usually my time to sleep in. But it was fun trying to make it all work. It was tough getting guests at that time of the morning, though. That's what we tell you.
Usually, when Tanya and I are trying to get guests, I'm usually the one that tries to snag the guests since I have a more flexible schedule than her. So sometimes I'll solo that section if it's just an interview or whatnot.
Yep.
CD,
I'm actually a listener, so I've heard those.
Well, that's right. I forget that.
yeah.
CD, how do you deal?
How do I deal with guests? Yeah. Well, my talk show is usually just informal get together. So it's kind of dependent on being the same time because that way anybody can call in. So usually it's set time, and the main people I have on the show, I got together with them online and asked when's a good time. We sorted out time, and that's the time we've been going with.
Okay, and you're saying that your show is freely open to guests just to pop in since it's on Talk
Yep.
Show? Or?
Huh. Yeah, all you need is a Talk Show account, or not even. You just have to have some method of calling in or logging in, and you could type or chat away.
Do you record the Talk Show and then upload a higher quality one later, or you just use the stuff that's built into Talk Show?
At the moment, I'm just using the stuff built into Talk Show.
Okay. Just wondering, because we actually had the GigCast going before TalkShoe was around, and we kind of experimented with TalkShoe, but we had tweaked the quality, the production quality of the show, too, that when we to go, it was almost like doing talk shows, almost like a step backwards for the quality. And I'm sure it's improved since then when it first came out, but we decided to not deal with those issues when we had the chance.
Well, unfortunately, talk show does have occasional problems. There's not as much control as going back and editing it post recording.
Right.
But you do actually have the option of downloading it or uploading your own show, your own version of it. You don't have to use the TalkShoe system.
Well, that's cool.
So at least some place to host something.
Yeah, it gives a place to host. People can call in on a centralized switchboard instead of having to pre-arrange everything.
That's part of the reason why the quality is like it is, though, because they have to really keep the bandwidth kind of limited with as many people that are actually connecting to the servers to be a part of the show.
That's right. What I suppose. You also listen to it live, so you can actually, when you listen to the show live, there's actually a chat window. You can type in your comments, and depending what the comments are, and the host or people online, they can read it and bring it up in the show. Anybody that's on the show can see the chat comments.
I know a few shows, particularly, I don't know if anybody here goes to myextralife.com and listens to Extra Life Radio.
I had listened to it, yes.
Okay. They when they record, they usually get on, I think, Ustream now, and they allow, like, a chat and everything, and they have, like, a live recording, and then the main guy will mix it up and upload it a little bit later. And that's something I kind of wanted to do, too, but, of course, with the setup the way it is, it's kind of impossible to do it without, like, having extra hardware.
Yeah. So. There's a lot of podcasts that are doing that, and the ones that where the people are in the same room together, that's really kind of interesting. But when it's like the way we do our show, you know, cross country, cross state, just one guy sitting at a computer talking, not that exciting. but it's still interesting. And there's a show we listen to called Technorama, which is more of a geek tech type podcast, where they have the Ustream windows up, their webcams up during the recordings as well. So it is another way to get an audience.
Yeah, their call-in shows are pretty interesting because, you know, right in the middle of something, they'll kind of break into laughing and then they'll sort of introduce people that are hanging out in Ustream and go, yeah, from the comment line and go right off with it. So yeah, I mean that's why we'd love to be able to do things more with, and I'm sure we'll experiment with TalkShoe and with Ustream as time goes on, and I'm hoping at some point. You know,
to get paid?
Well, yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, I'm not looking to be giving up my day job anytime soon. But I'd love to see like Google get off their butt and do conference calls with GTalk.
Yeah, definitely.
Might be something.
I could pop over to the office on Monday and let them know.
Well,
you
as
work
far
at
as
Google?
No, I work a block away from Google.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just throw a rock. Buy a note to a rock and throw it through one of their windows. I'm sure. You know, idea for a great, you know, that one day a week you have to work on your own stuff. Try this and smash, throw it through the window.
What I want to know is when the Google jet comes landing, on the bottom of the jet, does it say, I feel lucky?
Oh, jeez.
It must. It absolutely must.
Another difficulty with doing a type of, you know, radio show, which is essentially what podcasting is a time frame. And since, you know, we're not adhering to some sort of network and time restrictions, we can typically go as long as we want, essentially. But do both of you try to keep it to a consistent time limit, time frame?
At the GigCast, we try to keep it to about an hour, and I really don't consciously try to do that, but for some reason all shows always end up like between 55 minutes and an hour and 5 minutes. I don't know how it happens, it just does. And I don't try to think about it too much. It's like the how, you know, tell the centipede to think about how he walks, he's going to trip up and stuff. I just try to think about it, just do it, and it just works out that way. But we tried to, at the beginning, we tried to think, you know, maybe try to keep around a half hour, you know, whatever, and it slowly crept up. And we do an interview almost every week, and the amount of news that we cover. And then we try to throw some music in there every week and so. So that hour just seems to work out just about right for us.
On 9:10, that we have an hour time schedule, but usually, as per GigaCast, I guess, we usually end up going over just because of wrap up. Try to wrap up the show 5 minutes to an hour, and wrap up usually ends up taking more than 5 minutes.
It's a Minnesota goodbye.
Oh man, well,
I'm not in Minnesota, so.
Well, it's just, you know, it's Minnesotans have to say goodbye like 12 times before you finally get out of there.
I have no idea how to end our conversation. None at all.
No, he doesn't. He really
problem.
Doesn't. I'll be trying to wrap it up, and he'll say, "Oh, I don't know how to ask you about this," and like, no, it's like, come on. No, but that's just the recording time. We really like to have a pre-conversation with our guests just to break the ice and, you know, see what they want to talk about, that sort of thing. Right. And that can go on anywhere between a half hour and 45 minutes because we just keep talking. And then after the show is over, we'll usually keep talking for another 45 minutes to an hour sometimes with some of these guys because they're just some great people out there that we're talking to. And we don't want to, you know, the show is one thing, but we're meeting some great people, and we'll spend a couple hours to get, you know, a half hour interview.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I end up trying to, I guess, cut them out right away as soon as we're done because I don't know how to end it. So okay, I guess that's it. Bye.
It's caused some confusion.
Oh, yes,
here
totally.
And there.
Like last week, the guys from familywebcomics.com, I thought I had wrapped it up. But they were still on the line, I guess, confused of what to do. Oh, well.
Yeah, so if you have a mute button.
Well, we've been doing this for a long time. You know, I think this is show 133 coming out for us this week. But this one's actually weeks already been recorded, because we were at MegaCon in Orlando this weekend, spreading the webcomic and podcast love. And so that show's pretty much recorded. It was just a bunch of guys in a room under the single microphone. It actually turned out pretty well. But
it was very similar to the way this conversation is. It was one girl and a bunch of guys going, and what do you have to say, kid?
That sounds like the average podcast.
That sounds like most of my life.
Well, smoking baby ribs, what do you think?
Yeah, most of my life runs that way. It's usually me and a bunch of guys and sitting around. There aren't many girl geeks, I think, is the problem. We need to breed more.
See, that's why I got Tanya on the show.
I think they're
from Boom Factor.
Yeah.
I think they kind of camouflage themselves, really, because it's, you know, hanging around Night Gig, there's... At first you think, boy, it's all guys. And it's really just because we're more vocal, maybe. But there's really just as many people that we link... Just as many gals that we link up to off of Night Gig as guys, really. I mean, because it's... Black Kitty from Drunk Duck. Mm-hmm. It's Joe, who she's got a couple of blogs that she writes around us. Kit White, who does Blue Canary. Tim's daughter, Ailish. She's got a couple of little, you know, funny strips that she's been putting out. But other than
that, I know
that,
they're out there.
Yeah, it's.
I know they are.
We love you, nerdy girls.
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, I think
I
it might be a thing. They just don't. They just don't want to be singled out too much, so maybe they don't try to make that much waves, or maybe we're trying to overcompensate and try not to single them out too much. That we
it can be a little freaky to be the only girl in a room, and you don't necessarily want to call attention to the fact that, you know, hi, I'm different, come try to date me. It feels weird, so.
Unlike the fat man in the Sailor Moon outfit, I have real boobs. No.
That's right, exactly, and that's intimidating and frightening and scary, and so, yeah, I'm
sitting in. Can I steer this off subject just for a brief second?
Oh,
wouldn't
yeah,
that
sorry.
Be great?
Second, please steer it way off.
Okay, now you know what I go through. Go ahead.
Tim mentioned that we were at MegaCon over the weekend, and you just mentioned fat man in Sailor Moon costume.
Oh.
Hey, Tim,
yeah.
Can we talk about Hannah Montana?
No, if you want to, go right ahead.
Was it Hannah Montana he dressed up as?
It was Hannah Montana, geez. Yeah, yeah.
She's already creepy looking.
There was about a 40-year-old, 6-foot-something guy.
Yeah, good 200-some pounds, sure.
Yeah, with his dad. cosplaying as Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana.
Oh,
that's terrible.
There was a creepy level alarm that went off through the entire place.
He's like, I've seen all the shows about a dozen times. I'm like, good for you, bud. Yeah.
Oh,
this is why they should implement dress codes at conventions.
Was it like fun, Moses parting the waters? He just walked and everyone moved?
No, he kind of blended in, unfortunately. Have you been to a convention?
You know, I have, but I'm suddenly rethinking MegaCon ever again.
Well, there was another guy in one of these. If I go down next year, I'm going to have to ask his name from a distance. But there's a guy now that I've seen last year and this year.
Yeah, he actually asked him, hey, weren't you in a big white dress last year? And he's like, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, he's about 6'6 to start.
Yeah.
And then he's got these 12-inch heels that he wears.
Holy crap.
And last year it was sort of a just a little, you know, small level of okay.
But it covered most of it.
Yeah, it was a dress that at least covered most of his body.
This year
there was a thong involved.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And you know,
slightly hair involved thong.
It was just
I can't.
I think he shaved his legs though, at least, so it wasn't as well.
And this is what drives us to do webcomic podcasts.
Yep. Back on track. Good job.
Well, actually, I think we should let that simmer in people's minds and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll have something new to talk about. The Webcomic Beacon is proud to be an affiliate of The Geek Media. TheGeekMedia.com has a number of geek-related websites, podcasts, and blogs for you to check out. Check out TheGeekMedia.com.
Webcomic Beacon is hosted by Zephyr.net. Free hosting for free thinkers.
So anyway, we're back. And let's see here. Well, we're talking about webcomic podcasting. And, Scott and JT, since you guys have the longest running show so far amongst the three of us, can you remember way back when, why you started and how you started the GigCast?
Well, I had found podcasting through, the whole Twit thing or something, Lil Apart or whatnot. And we've been running Night Gig Studios for a couple years at this point, which is, you know, a webcomic collective. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. And when we started Night Gig, I was doing a webcomic, which I had let lapse, like most webcomics tend to do. Mm-hmm. But I was still running Night Gig and I was trying to think of a way to help promote webcomics from Night Gig and also other webcomics in general. And the whole thing behind Night Gig was promoting people's night gigs, what they would do, you know, after their day jobs. And I figured I wanted to do a podcast. So I'll do a webcomics podcast. You can focus on what's happening at Night Gig and then cover the rest of the webcomic world as well. And downloaded Skype, and we tried almost everything at the first. We tried Skype with Hot Recorder. Actually, we tried Skype. We tried, what are those
Gizmo?
Other?
Was it Gizmo?
The Gizmo Project, Google Talk. Ended up using Skype with Hot Recorder for a while there. And then we started in August, and by the time Christmas rolled around, and it's still doing the show, so I took the plunge and had Santa bring me this mixing board and microphone. It only cost like $100 at the time, like $120 with cables and mic stand and that sort of thing, and pumped it up a little bit. So that way we didn't have to use Hot Recorder and could just record using the sound cards in the computer and cut out that whole software capture device thing, which really didn't do wonders for the quality of the recordings, and been going strong since then.
The other big problem with once we kind of moved to Audacity before we started doing a lot of this too is we originally all sort of recorded our own ends, and then FTP'd the files up to Tim, and then Tim would have to kind of mesh them all together and line it all up nice.
Oh, crazy!
Right, that was actually that we still do well. We haven't done it in a while, but that is the best way to get the best quality. It's called doing a double ender. That way, the people are recording the their own local audio. There's no Skype problems. There's no, you know, that sort of stuff. And it's really not that hard to do as long as you can line up the. If the audio lines up at the beginning, it's just as easy as if I record the whole thing. But now the Skype quality has improved so much over the years. Really? I mean, we started.
Now we both have mixing boards. I picked up a cheap mixing board used from a fellow podcaster on the Farpoint Media Network.
Yeah, we've been doing this since 2005. So we just took all that the experience we've been having, and like I said, between the quality of Skype improving and Levelator, which is a free program, which is a great way to clean up your audio. Take a waveform, drop it into the. Into Levelator does a great job cleaning up the audio when you have two or more people in the same channel to get the levels right and clean up the background noise a little bit. That we really don't have to do double enders anymore. It sounds pretty good just the way we've been doing it.
Cool. Well, I'll find the link for that and put it in the show notes for others that may be interested. CD, how did you start your venture?
Oh, I kind of started through another webcomic. I'm a big fan of a comic called Least I Can Do.
Yeah.
And they started doing a sort of podcast. It was kind of a Q&A. People would call in and ask questions to the main character, who was played by, I believe, the actual creator. Mm-hmm. And they did a couple shows like that on the Talk Show system. This got me exposed to Talk Show, and just listening to different shows, I actually found her as actually a representative from TalkShoe in my home community. So,
together.
Cool. Yeah, it's actually kind of handy. I talk to him every so often. And I kind of give him ideas, and he says, yeah, we're already working on it. So, but it's pretty handy, other than the fact my ideas have already been thought of.
No, they're just saying that. You know that.
No.
They're stealing your ideas.
Yeah, it could be.
Well,
yeah, I give it to him freely anyway.
Let's see here. How long ago was this?
This was about a year ago. I've already been doing webcomic for over a year by that time. So I decided, well, if I'm going to do a podcast, I'm going to do one about webcomics. And I got a bunch of people that I know that make webcomics in the 910 forums.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically just have a panel discussion, round table panel discussion on whatever topic is for that night.
And I think most of the people that are on your regular panel are also a part of the webcomic brainstorm sessions that we have here on the Beacon sometimes.
A couple of them. Tom Cat, I believe, is one of them, isn't he?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric, who writes for Xern.
Yep. And also, what's her face? Aggie, or Gothia. I know she's been on your show a few times.
Yep. Well, actually, send her back. I haven't seen her for a while.
Well, I know that she's doing a lot of stuff right now, but let's see. Back to JT and Scott. Since you guys are much farther back to 2005, and we heard CD was talking about the Least I Can Do podcast, were there any other podcasts around at the time when you guys started that you were listening to, or...
Webcomic wise, I thought we were the first until I found Digital Strips. I was kind of like, oh, okay. Well, anyway, when I found them, like, all right, cool. So I started listening to them as well. But I was listening to podcasts. Like I said, like Twit, a lot of the Little Laporte podcasts, the geeky stuff. Mm-hmm. Technorama was one of the ones I started listening to as well back then. The Serenity The Signal. Signal was one of the first ones I really did find. I think I was listening to Twit, and I think, well, maybe there's something about Firefly out there, because I was like that, and I found them. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm an official brown coat, too. Don't be embarrassed.
Oh, I'm not. Jeez. Believe me. It's all shiny.
I'm pretty sure that's how you got me into podcasts as well, as you were, the Serenity podcast was talking about the Serenity movie. And mm-hmm. You got to check this out. And because they were doing the big build up to the movie, and then I did the same thing. Once I found that, then it was just a matter of kind of trolling iTunes, and Oh, actually, I got real big into a couple of music podcasts for a while. There was a one called Industrial Radio that every once in a while kind of comes out of the graveyard and puts out a couple of shows and then sort of goes back into hibernation. But and it was a, you know, it was a lot. I feel like I want to find new music, but you know, it's like the older I get, the harder it is. So the finding podcasts that do new music was great.
Yeah.
And the whole podcast thing is very incestuous.
As I was schooled on my way the other day, I walked into my local comic shop and he was saying, "Hey, what have you been up to lately?" And I said, "Oh, working on the podcast." And he goes, "My cat has a podcast."
Well, it's all incestuous. I mean, I found the Signal. Through the Signal, I found the Sonic Society, which is an awesome, which is a bunch of, they did an Old Runes audio drama. From the Signal, been talking with Jack Ward, who runs that up there, and we're now part of the gig cast is a Gnomes audio drama that we put together, which is based on a web comic by Kevin Heyman, who's a member of Nightgeek Studios with Aaron Apprentice.
Yeah.
And so it all just works in together as a way to promote web comics through different medias. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Now, there are, you mentioned digital strips,
yeah.
And doesn't look like they've actually had a show anytime.
Not for a while. I wouldn't call them officially pod faded yet, but it's starting to look that way.
Yeah.
They had a really good run, though. They had a bunch of, they were on for a couple of years.
Yeah.
With some shift changes and whatnot. You know, people came and went a little bit, but. Yeah. And I think the site's still going pretty good, you know, news-wise and article-wise, but yeah. I don't know about the podcast.
Yeah, the last podcast was, I think, a couple of months ago. It was a review of Perry Bible Fellowship or something.
Yeah.
Well, and didn't Phil Kahn move on to, he's helping co-write a new webcomic that's out there with T. Campbell and...
Yeah, it's really
so
good, too.
They've kind of gotten busy with other projects, too, so...
Yeah,
what's it called, just, the Sketch or something? Sketches or something like that? Yeah, it's really good.
Well,
so far,
are there any other webcomic podcasts out there that you guys listen to? I don't know. I listen to Webcomics Weekly, but it just
yep.
It there's something about it. It's just you know, it's just you know, four guys just basically just kind of recording how you know, like a bunch of buddies would just start talking about it. I can't really tell if there's like a particular theme other than this them talking about what's been going on.
Well, they started out pretty strong with content, and then it's kind of you know. Settled into that, which really isn't bad. I mean, it's if you're a fan of you know Penny Arcade, I don't know Penny Arcade, of PvP, and well, I was thinking that I listened to the Penny Arcade guys, their downloadable content,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is brilliant because it's just the you get to see the creative mind. They're not trying to topic; it's actually their BS section of what they're going to make for that comic. And it, you know, if you're a webcomic creator, that's an awesome. Podcast to do. It really takes no planning. Basically, the thing is, they're a team, so that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The Brudos brothers that do the Alpha
yeah,
Shade,
Alpha,
the
Alpha
that work
yeah.
Alpha Rant, that works for them too because they're a team. They work together, and there's that interplay. If you're a single guy doing or a single gal doing a webcomic, it's kind of weird if you're doing the brainstorming by yourself in front of a computer talking to a microphone. It doesn't work so well. But if you get it. So the Alpha Rant
the flip side of that, though, Tim, is that, you know, for like a webcomic, a short video podcast might work brilliantly.
Yeah.
I mean, you start looking at all the stuff on YouTube for, you know, artist sketches and things. And,
yeah.
And
right, so after you have the idea, yeah. just every once in a while throwing up a video, a compressed video of you drawing your strip and just seeing, let people see the behind the scenes of how it's actually created is a great neat idea for a video podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was doing my original comic, PSI, way back when, I started putting out a few little podcast things. Well, I didn't call them podcasts, but, you know, MP3s of me talking about whatever. And I realized, you know, this is kind of stupid, so I kind of stopped because, like, you know, I have no reason for people to listen to this, so... but like something like video wise, where they can like watch something like drawing process, that's a very good idea. And I would like to see more of that versus just people like kind of crybabying about whatever on YouTube.
We'll all steal the idea now. We'll set up video
Absolutely.
Cameras.
I mean, that's the whole point. Yeah.
I mean, I used to listen to the Westcast, which was Wes Mulbash with You'll Have That. But again, it was just he was a single guy talking about his comic. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to get, you know, people send him an email, he answers an email that way. But that's really tough to do, and I'm not surprised that it didn't last as long as we were hoping it would.
Mm-hmm. Well, but we were talking about what other shows, and there's The Dish, and then there's the Triple mm-hmm. Feature, which is the Theater Hopper and Theater Hopper and two other kind of movie related comics.
There's the Random Pirate Comic Show as well.
Yep, random. And then there's Nick's show is more entertainment related, but
yeah,
there's the
Good, Bad, and Geeky. Very entertaining, kind of adult. Listen to it with your kids, but it's very funny. Nick Nitro does some great
just
voices.
Comic book related stuff out there, you know, like Comics Radar and Comic Geek Speak.
Yeah,
and a lot of that kind of bleeds over to webcomics a little bit. Ink Studs is one I've just started picking up. Hmm. Ink Studs, Canadian radio show that gets, you know, kind of podcasted after it's gone out on the air.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, I mean, with webcomics podcasts, and I'm sure CD can attest this as well, that it really is, there are like pockets, little niches that mm-hmm. you reach your audience, and you may not hear about another webcomics podcast, although there may be, you know, there's probably dozens out there that we don't quite know about, you know, but they have their own little pockets of audiences. The same with webcomic communities, you know, like Nightgig has its own little group, you know. Drunk Duck is now huge, but it started out where there were smaller cliques and that sort of thing.
Right.
The Digital Strips guys had their group of people that I'm sure listened to them all the time, and that sort of thing. So there are audiences out there, but it's a very niche audience. You know, it's very very limited in who the people you're going to get to listen.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, that's how 910's. That's how 910 started, right, CD?
Basically 910, sorry, 910 podcast basically just started off word of mouth, and that's how we still advertise. One of these days, I'm actually going to get the time to make ads and
Project Wonderful.
One day.
Yeah.
Project Wonderful is really a kind of a web comic phenomena. I've been trying to tell my other podcasts and compadres in Farpoint Media that, you know, it's a pretty decent way to get a lot of ads out there for not a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But most of the people that use Project Wonderful are web comics. I really haven't seen them on many other sites.
Right.
You know?
I think that's what it originally was. I mean, I think it's the guy who made Dinosaur Comics is like one of the creators of it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of was the point. You know, it's like when I first started, you know, all my web projects, I never wanted to get like Google Sense or you know, all those other ads. It's like Project Wonderful was like the only ad system that I agreed with because it's kind of like, kind of like for like the underdogs almost. It's like, because they make you like buy like a whole month at a time usually.
Exactly. It's the same at Nightgig. You know, we never had ads before until this Project Wonderful came along. And because you can say yay or nay and you can keep it cheap enough that the people that you want to support can afford it. Yeah.
Okay, that was a conversation ender.
Yeah.
I thought I lost you again.
I was thinking about jumping in, but I'm like, I've been doing too much talking anyway on your show. I apologize. It's just I go into host mode when I get in front of this microphone. I can't help it.
Yeah, you and your mixing board.
I've been doing it for too long.
Now let's talk about what happens when your guest runs away with your show.
That's right.
Hey, I just let it happen. It's easier for me to edit it later. Do you know anything that could possibly help us out with our interviews?
You should do a little pre-interview with your guests and not just hijack them on Skype in the middle of recording. You know, a couple times you can tell that the people, you know, they're expecting your phone call. But they're not expecting that you're recording right as you say hello.
Ah.
So,
okay.
You know,
if you want to keep doing it the other way, we'll keep stealing your guests. That's fine by us.
Yeah, how many people did you do that for already?
Just the one. And I didn't realize that we actually had arranged the interview with him before we knew he was going to be on your show.
No, we didn't. No,
oh, I didn't. You might not have.
You might not have known.
I didn't know.
I went by the Webcomics Beacon site, and I saw he was geared up for like the next week, account. God dang it, I never followed through with that email. Because I'd emailed him like 6 months
did.
Ago and said, hey, we got to get you on the show sometime. He says, yeah, that'd be a great idea.
And then he tells me we're going to talk to him, and then I'm listening to my iPod at work, and like, oh my God, they've already interviewed. He's been on the week out. What?
That was awesome.
I completely hijacked Rock.
It was very funny. Right.
30 minutes really doesn't work.
No. Did we try to do the 30 minutes because people don't want to listen for an hour. They don't listen for an hour. Yeah, but you know, people listen while they're working out. People listen while they're drawing the comic. People listen while they're driving to work. Yeah. They get through it. You know, an hour show is not too long.
What about the time we set the egg timer?
Oh, that was funny.
We had a show where I went and grabbed the wife's egg timer. And it was...
Well, it's because we had such a long interview with somebody. We had like a 40-minute interview that week.
Oh, wow.
And we had the Drunk Duck News, which usually runs between 5 and 7 minutes. I'm trying to tell them to keep it shorter, too. But it's tough to do. But so we actually set the we actually had a list of things we wanted to get through. We had a 10-minute egg timer, and we kept going until we heard the ding. I was like, "Damn, we almost got through it."
Yeah, I've sometimes had to cut whole segments and just like either scrap them completely or put it to the next time. I got a stick it note here of the show broken down: intro, then the show bulk, casual ramblings, the break, interview, break two, review, impressions. And then the closing, I have it all scheduled out, so it's like...
Yep. Yeah, I like the whole webcomic beacon theme with the beeping at the beginning and whatnot. That's really cool. You got that's pretty great.
Yeah, my brother had used to track music for a while, like, you know, experimental, you know, make a computer type of... Yeah, stuff like that. And he has all these, like, 20 to 60-second... bits that he's never used, and I have the program which he used, so I can like modify it slightly, like take out parts I don't like, and that's basically what I've used for the music for the entire show, is all of his old like loops and such.
We do all the editing on Audacity, and I have a Gigcast template file which has the openings, all the bed music, all the mm-hmm. stingers, all the bumpers already there, and then I just, as I edit down the news and just stick it in and adjust so that everything ends up correctly where the bumpers are, and then the news goes there and the interview goes there and the music goes there. And who, you know, you have that, you have that guy that does those bits for you, the minute or whatever, what's it called, not the announcer, the guy, you have a pre-recorded bit, a guy does a rant about something.
Oh yeah, that's Brett Hanley.
Casual Ramblings. Yeah.
God, I wanted to steal him from you. I'm like, he's great.
He has a really good so voice.
Funny. He's great. No, and his stuff is funny, and it's to the point, and he does a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Damn, that's great. Oh, that's a great segment.
Well, okay, CD, I know you basically just let TalkShoe basically do its thing, but...
Anything with TalkShoe.
Yeah, anything TalkShoe. Personally, I when I first started, I hacked up the show a whole lot, cutting out the... and ums and all the big spaces in between words to make me sound a little bit more like I knew what I was talking about. Now it's kind of more like just let it go, you know, and then I'll like signify as like, okay, here I got to splice in some audio, but and I'm sure a lot of people like maybe thinking about doing their own is going to deal with like a lot of this. And my advice is to anyone that wants to start their own podcast, just be familiar with an audio editor so you can make yourself sound a whole lot smarter than you actually do when you record.
The only editing I really do is I'll remove any like awkward silences. Mm-hmm. There have been times when we'll finish an interview and a guy goes, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that. Can you take that out of there? And I'll do that. The whole ums and ahs and breathing in the microphone and stuff like that is... You learn from experience. Mm-hmm. The more you do it, the less those mistakes you make.
Right.
The one thing I'm going to say, if someone's thinking about doing a monologue, like just you podcasting, if you're going to do like a review of a comic or something along those lines, just yourself talking, write it out. Don't. Yes. And practice it a couple of times. Don't just have yourself a couple of bullet points and just go. If you listen to the Web Cartoonist Choice Awards audio... I presented or introduced Gunner Craig Court, which I love and I know about, but I didn't write anything down, and I got up there and I great school, Spooky Woods, you're gonna love it. Yeah, Tom Seidel. I probably pronounced his name wrong. Sorry about that. And that's pretty much all I said.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It was,
it was
just random words. Bridge, dark robot.
The robot, birds, wolf things, seeds, makeup on face, beautiful Ron. He's from Europe, England, I think. Next. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
You never, if you ever need inspiration for web podcasts or web comics, just listen to this guy because he just lists off so many things now.
And it didn't help that I really completely abandoned him.
He did. It was supposed to be me and him, but he yeah.
I was running the AV.
You hung me out to dry is what you did, my friend. And don't think I won't forget.
I think you're well drawn, dried.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, yeah,
but I can certainly attest to the writing it down before talking. Before I did the webcomic Beacon, I did a small on the podcast Infendo Radio, which is a Nintendo based podcast. I have a segment called 2 cents in 60 seconds, where I just speak for like 60 seconds about whatever Nintendo related, and I decided to take that and do miniature webcomic reviews, which you can find somewhere on festworks.com/tcss/, and you should find the old archives there. And I think I have like maybe 30 mini reviews, only they're really like impressions. But I really had to write everything out in order to make it to that 60 seconds for my little gimmick. And
it's amazing what you can screw up in 60 seconds if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. It sure is.
I should have kept sure all the bloopers, because even still, you're trying to force everything out in 60 seconds. You trip over yourself so many times, and I've like spent like 10 minutes recording 1 minute, and half of it was like cusses of me just like,
I'm doing a podcast now called JT Ukes at 40, but that's basically a free form. Me just talking about my day. I don't bother writing anything down for that. I just let it fly. But when you're going to do a review about something, and you really should write it down, practice it a few times, record it 4 or 5 times if you have to make it, because unless you're doing it live on air, there's no reason why it shouldn't be smooth and eloquent and to the point. And people think you're smart, and you should do that.
Yeah,
so that's something you need to think about. Exactly.
It comes down to who you're presenting. If you're presenting someone else, it's nice to have it smooth and scripted like you talked about. And if you're presenting yourself, you don't want to do that. You come across a little robotic and...
Exactly.
So let fly and screw up. And I think people relate to that.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of our time here. And let's see here.
It's time for the awkward ending.
It's time for the awkward ending. Well, actually,
let's try this Minnesota goodbye thing here now.
All right, Scott and JT, do you have, if you'd like, you can present now a plug for your show. Advertise it, if you will.
All right, we do it's a webcomics podcast, obviously called The Gigcast at thegigcast.com. We do news, views, commentaries, and almost every week we have an interview with somebody who does some kind of art on the web. We've talked to audiobook authors, we've talked to bands, we've talked with webcomic artists, mostly webcomic artists. So check us out. We actually have a contest starting next week with Beatnik Turtle, which is the guys that did our awesome theme song. They've got a new album coming out called Shamrock, so it's going to be for the last 2 weeks of March. You have to be subscribed to the Gigcast feed, which is gigcast.nightgig.com/RSS. And the Beatnik Turtle Song of the Day RSS feed, which I don't have at my fingertips right now. But if you go to thesongofthe day.com, you can subscribe there. And if you listen to both those podcasts, you'll get the information how to get this win the contest and win the CD, as well as a Night Gig prize pack, including webcomic samplers from the guys at Night Gigs, buttons, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Also on the Gigcast, we have the weekly Drunk Duck Report that BK and Spang do for us. Spang is an incredible audio editor in his own right, and he should get paid a lot more for what he does. Which is nothing.
Well, most recently I've been put into witness protection, and I think they're going to move me over to Sarasota, Florida. And oh, you meant my comic.
Yes.
Yeah, I do mattscottcomic.com, but if I go into witness protection, we're going to have to change that name.
It is a great slice of life comic. You guys need to check it out. It's awesome.
Well, cool. And you can send me, and you can send me some of the links too, and I'll try to put all those or as much as I can into our show notes as well.
Sure.
And CD.
Will do.
Would you like to plug your show?
I guess I could plug it to some degree. CD Rudd. I do a podcast, 910 Comics webcomic talk group. Basically, a bunch of people who make webcomics get together, discuss webcomics, and we usually try to give tips, points, and help new people starting webcomics. So if you're a potential artist, potential author, or potential anything having to do with webcomics, it's a good idea to listen, and we occasionally have good tips.
Occasionally.
URL, you can find the podcast information. You can go to pod.sittersun.org and just follow the links.
All right, and we'll get all these notes in the show links. And, of course, there's also the webcomicbeacon.com for us, but, you know, you should already know that since you're listening to us. So, once again, Scott, CD,
the chairs.
JT, thank you for coming on the show with us.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thanks, guys.
Art and Story is a podcast where two comics artists, myself and Mark Rudolph, get together and we just try to wrap our brains around the complexities and the different kinds of problems that we run into making comics. And it's also just some of the conversations that happen naturally between two artists as we talk about what we work on every week. We try to tackle other subjects that are submitted by listeners and also subjects we think about on our own in terms of character design. Both in inner life and outer design, how to build a story, how to design pages, how to design what happens within the panels, what happens between the panels, what happens on the page as a whole, all the different kinds of artistic and creative concerns that occur to comic book artists. And every once in a while we do smaller segments involving picking a particular artist that we want to, you know, honor for that week. We call it the Big Honor, where we just talk about a particular illustrator or storyteller who really moves us, and we try to dig a little deeper beyond "I like his style" or "he draws great women." We try to figure out what as far as what we can tell, what makes his or her work tick, and just open up the discussion for everyone else to think a little bit more about what they're doing when they're making comics. I wouldn't necessarily call it a cerebral show, but it's certainly a show where we try to think as hard as we can. And we also recently launched a live component where once a week we open up the phone lines and we take calls from people where we let other artists come in and share their thoughts and different tips about making comics. It's called Art and Story Alive. And it's all on the same website at cdcomics.com/art and story, all spelled out, no ampersand. The regular show updates every Wednesday and the live show updates every Monday.
And now, webcomic reviews.
Every so often, the subject of genres comes up in the forums over at the Webcomic List. When it does, the general consensus seems to be that people hate them. Technically, I suppose it's just that some people hate some genres. And when you really get down to the discussion, it usually turns out that those people don't actually hate the genre so much as they hate certain comics that typify the genre's most common weaknesses. Basically, genre is just a way to describe the general premise of a comic. So, when you say that something is a furry comic, you should just be mentioning that the comic cast is composed of anthropomorphic animals. Sadly, much too sadly, many comics never manage to grow beyond their premise and become true genre comics in all the misery that suggests. Why am I telling you this? Because I believe that genre is not, in itself, a bad thing. As long as the author manages to rise above the genre and create a story that supports itself without the limitations of its original premise. Goblins by Terrell Hunt and Danielle Stevens is just such a comic. I mean, sure, on the face of it, you can say Goblins is really just ElfQuest with goblins, or that it's another in a growing list of comics based on the lives and feelings of adventure game monsters, but you'd be doing yourself and the comic a disservice if you really thought that was all it was. Admittedly, Goblin starts out well within the genre of its premise. The bumbling and bickering party marches through the forest and prepares to meet the wisecracking and bickering main cast. But somewhere along that first story, something changed. Hunt stopped seeing his goblins as puppets in his four-color spoof of gamers and started recognizing that they could be three-dimensional characters in their own right. He fleshed them out and beefed up who they are and why they do what they do. And he taught them that they don't have to be what the Monster Manual says they are. And because Hunt began to care about them, so did the reader. The goblins stopped being wacky little wisecrackers who'd get up after the party was gone, respawn for the next adventure. They became real beings that had hopes and dreams, that felt pain and bled, and ultimately died. No res, no respawn, just that awful silence. The art is solid and developing. Hunt owes a lot to Wendy Pini, but he's beginning to develop his own style, and Steven's colors minimize the impression that goblins is what ElfQuest would look like if Pini used drafting pens instead of a brush. There are some issues and inconsistencies, both with the art and the writing, but they are slowly being sanded down by the rough pressure of experience. If you were only allowed one webcomic, I probably wouldn't say to go with this one, but that's a stupid limitation anyway, and Goblins is totally worth a look. I'm supposed to do 5 minutes here, but that's all I got, and anyway, I still need to record the casual ramblings. If Fest needs to fill it, he can get Aaron to talk about the time he was on the Dateline house and how it was totally a mistake. Anyway, back to you, Fest.
Find more from Brett Hanley at casualnotice.com. Let's hear some webcomic impressions from Aaron Edwards.
Hey guys, I'm back. Lizzie at CyberneticEvilStudios.com is a cyberpunk webcomic that pushes the medium's envelope. It features unobtrusive flash first and foremost, with each frame being clickable and needing a click to fully give the panel and strip scope. I'm too lazy for that shit. So while I appreciate the effort involved in offering an interactive full-color fucking hardcore webcomic, and while a standard non-flash experience is available, the presentation as a gimmick doesn't mean much to me. I care about story. I care about writing. This one is a back burner for me. That's all this week. Bye.
Find more from Aaron at anatoly.com.
Also this week we have a webcomic milestone hitting its first year, Super Fight Fight at superfightfight.tk.
Congratulations on your milestones. If you know of a comic that has recently hit an X hundredth strip or has been updating for X years, let us know at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
All right, we're going to try to quickly wrap things up here. Last week we talked about All Ages Comics, and we also received some links to some other comics, which probably should get some mention. The webcomic Thorn at mimisgrotto.com/thorn. It's a cute little webcomic set in the 1950s era. Stars a cute little but evil possibly girl and her older sister. It was pretty good. It looks like all ages to me. I actually really liked it a lot. I read the whole thing, about 110 strips. And a couple others include 67th Avenue at 67thavenue.com. And another webcomic at schoolspiritcomic.com. So go ahead and check those out if you'd like. Let's see here. What else do we got to quickly go over? Next week, we're going to have an open forum discussion here on the Webcomic Beacon. We'll be talking about, we'll start to show off about talking about net neutrality, the future of the free internet, and what that could possibly mean for webcomics. So please, please try to get on the show next week about Tuesday night at around 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, which is -6 GMT. I might be on earlier. Check me out on Skype. Look for Festworks, and we'll get you on. We'll record a little bit about what you have to say, or we might just have you on the show for more of the episode, kind of like how Aaron of tbolcomic.com has for the last two times. Certainly, it's going to be and hopefully we'll have an interesting discussion to talk about. Anyway, this is all for the Beacon. Tanya had skipped out already. This has been Fess, and we'll see you next week.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Sweet baby ribs, man. Sweet baby ribs.
Just round theme.
That's great.
It all just comes right back around, doesn't it?
It does.
It does.
Hey, I'm still recording this.
No.
Are you really?